happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And despite the fact that the president is under threat of being removed from office, he managed to have 8 more federal agencies seek the right to fund anti-LGBT organizations.
It's a tidal wave. Vice President Pence spoke at a Memphis church for what, Martin Luther King Day?
Yep.
With a pastor who, right there in front of him, called gay people demons.
We're going to show you the tape,
yeah,
which was on the White House website. There was a court win for same-sex parents in Indiana.
A gay teen was shot dead in New Orleans, and his family wants it investigated as a hate crime.
This is a very nice story. A gay 15-year-old in Maryland got a big coming-out party from his family and from the restaurant where they had the party.
And now heading for the Super Bowl, or as we like to call it, the Stupor Bowl, is the first out and first female coach of one of the teams.
The killer of a gay man in Michigan has entered an insanity plea.
They have cleared Chick-fil-A from all of the United Kingdom.
Quite encouraging. A pilot has overturned a European airline ban on HIV-positive commercial pilots.
I told Andy this wasn't a headline, but actor Harry Hamlin has now said again that playing gay in a movie in 1982 killed his movie career.
Yeah. Now, of course, this was the week where we had the 3rd annual Women's March in Washington and New York, all over the country.
17, 18, 19, 20.
Right. My God. How time flies when you're not having fun. Anyway, but this was done in many places in the Northeast in the snow, which has moral force. But there we were out there.
Yeah, like that makes an impression on Trump.
Well, nothing makes an impression on Trump.
Okay.
Nothing. Nothing gets through that hide of his.
No, but we do have a nice picture of a crowd in New York.
Yeah.
That shows a lot of people came out for it, so that's nice.
We
didn't get that up. I'm sure it'll be up
there.
There it is.
And there's a sign that says, "End the murder of black and Latinx trans women."
Yeah.
There was a decent crowd there, bigger crowd uptown in New York, and, of course, a big crowd in Washington and across the country.
Well, so, unfortunately, there's this ongoing split of 2 versions of the Women's March based mainly on Middle East politics.
We're all going to be together in November, right, Hillary? I think you know what I'm talking
about.
Can
we do presidential politics?
If you want to skip over some things, sure.
Well, I just want to note that people are arguing over the New York Times endorsement of Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar. Can't they be perceived as endorsing a couple of people as okay? And if you want to vote for the progressive, vote for Elizabeth Warren. And if you want to vote for the more middle-of-the-road type, vote for Klobuchar.
I have not endorsed, but if I were going to make a statement right now, I would say they're all acceptable to me, except for Tulsi Gabbard.
Exactly. Do I need the New York Times to tell me who to vote for? I certainly hope not.
Well,
but I think they should. I think what they should say is, these people are acceptable.
I don't think newspaper endorsements make any difference anymore. None of them endorse Donald Trump, except maybe, the Klan paper.
I think I invented that.
Huh?
That newspaper endorsements don't make any difference.
Well, they certainly do in local elections.
Local.
They do make a difference in local elections, but less so than they used to.
Trump and his judicial appointees are still trying to mess with the election in November.
Yes.
The Supreme Court refused to take up an Obamacare case, sending it back to a court in Texas for more consideration.
Well, the Democrats Democrats in the House and I think attorneys general across the country said, please settle this case now. It's very important. I mean, we're very worried about it. Of course, Trump did not want it settled before the election.
Because what he's arguing for is getting rid of it and therefore getting rid of things like coverage of pre-existing conditions.
Right.
And he's afraid if the American people see him doing that before the election, fewer of them will vote for him.
But he is not afraid of having 8 more federal agencies and maybe a 9th put forth regulations to let religious organizations getting federal funds to turn away LGBT people and others, like people who are not of your religion, if you don't want to serve them as well. And this is an outrage. You've got 30 days to comment on it. I would encourage you to do so. I don't think it's going to make any difference to them, but it's good for you.
He wants to legalize more prayer in schools, in public schools.
He says that. I mean, of course, you know, if kids want to go off and pray before a test or something like that, they can. But public prayer and all that kind of stuff, no. God knows what the Supreme Court is going to say about that.
Well, as long as we're bringing God into this, as long as you're bringing God into this.
It's an expression.
God. One that we all use.
Yes.
But it becomes specifically relevant in the case of Vice President Mike Pence on Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yes.
Earlier this week.
I was on a Sunday. He's in a church in Memphis, the Holy City Church of God in Christ, which my friend Tony Halbert, who knows these things, says this is the biggest African-American denomination. In Memphis, the White House live streamed this as Bishop Jerry Wayne preached. Well, why don't we just show you what he said?
This is only a tiny bit of it.
It's a demonic spirit that causes another man, a man, to be attracted to another man. Amen. Man get attracted to me, he get in trouble because don't put your hands on me. Amen. God didn't make us for that. He made a man to be a man. Somebody said, if you want to know what God made you, when you go to the bathroom, just check your plumbing.
So where
he went on to claim that there is no homosexuality in the animal kingdom, which is utter nonsense.
The devil was responsible for us being gay and for same-sex unions. And,
And Mike Pence sat there and said nothing.
Well,
and
actually, when he got up, I appreciate your family values and things like that. Your good values.
And as you say, it was on the White House live stream and then
there.
On their website.
It's still up there on their website. And of course, I was looking at the people in the background. I mean, you know, there's a lot of gay people in the choir in African-American churches, and they just don't do any. They just sit there as they get insulted.
Fear of assuming minority status.
He also went on to say that that you never see two males, animals together. All right. Here we go.
Another branch of Trump's nonsense shows up in the court system, of course, where one of his appointees, Judge Kyle Duncan,
yes,
now on the Fifth Circuit, refused to recognize a trans woman who's in a federal prison, recognize her proper pronouns,
yeah,
and refused to change her prison records to reflect her lived gender identity.
In his opinion, he started to list all the different pronouns that they might try on him, but he says, what are we supposed to do about all these, the Z's and the Q's and the, he went on like that.
You could respect what people want to be called.
He was being very nasty, but we knew that when he was being confirmed by people like Susan Collins,
yes,
and Cory Gardner,
yes,
and all these other senators
who are enabling all of this, yeah, whether they're directly involved or not.
Yeah.
And then I was interested to see that Lambda Legal Defense is suing the State Department because yet again they are refusing to acknowledge the U.S. citizenship of children born to same-sex married U.S. couples,
right,
when they're born to a surrogate outside the United States. What they say is that they have rules about how long each parent has to have lived in the United States.
Oh.
And, And then they call the child born out of wedlock because they don't recognize, the State Department will not recognize these marriages as legal, although, of course, they are completely legal. Oh. And so the Lambda Legal is suing the State Department for recognition of these kids. They've got two cases now. There have been several cases like this beforehand.
Right.
It's shameful.
We haven't talked much about impeachment. It's ongoing as we are taping. But you should know, if you don't, that Trump is being defended by a bevy of anti-LGBT bigots led by Jay Sekulow. Jay Sekulow is the lawyer for Pat Robertson's legal outfit. He's been doing this for years, arguing on the anti-gay side before the Supreme Court in many, many, many cases. Pam Bondi, the former Attorney General of Florida, is also
vicious.
She's the one who considered joining, as an attorney general in Florida, considered joining a lawsuit against the Trump Foundation in 2013 before he was a presidential candidate. And then she got a $25,000 donation from the Trump Foundation.
Trump University, she was going to.
Well, I read the foundation.
Well,
she's now a lobbyist for Qatar and Ken Starr. And Alan Dershowitz.
Ken Starr, who, as president of Baylor University, after having prosecuted Bill Clinton, was kicked out of Baylor because he overlooked all the football players who were raping female students.
And Alan Dershowitz, who got off the murderer of, of O.J. Simpson and Klaus von Bülow. Of course, he says, they need representation, and I agree with that.
Sure, but you don't have to do it.
And also, of course, Jeffrey Epstein got him a light sentence. He's the one who got him a light sentence. These people are shameless.
They are. That could be the theme of all
and there's
our
a new,
programs.
The new book on Trump, The Fixers, says that after Roy Cohn, who had AIDS, visited Mar-a-Lago in 86, just before dying, Trump did throw a party for him, but then had the whole place fumigated because even though Roy wasn't open about having HIV, everybody knew that he did.
And Trump did dump Roy Cohn before
as a lawyer.
Died. Yes.
Well.
All right. Back to the campaign trail. Pete Buttigieg. They were holding a fundraiser for him at a gay bar in Providence.
The Dark Lady.
Where they have held many political fundraising events. The Dark Lady has seen Hillary Clinton, who else? Barney Frank. Many politicians have been to the Dark Lady.
But this bar has a dancing pole, and Chasten Buttigieg saw this and said, "We can't have that here."
You must remove the pole.
Yeah.
They'd had a more formal fundraiser at a hotel next door, and they were coming over to the bar for the sort of after party.
Chasten was going to come over, and Pete wasn't coming over. I think it was just Chasten.
Yeah, I don't think Pete was there at all.
So male pole dancers who take their work very seriously are upset about this. It's apparently some kind of a sport in addition to being a sex thing. Now, the campaign offered to compensate the Dark Lady, but they said, hey, but they only willing to pay $400, and we're going to be out this much money for not having the event and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, it has to do with we are gay and we don't want to get associated with this. Maybe that's easier for Hillary Clinton.
Good enough for Barney Frank.
Well, Barney.
I don't get the implication.
Well, I mean, Barney, all right, let's not go into Barney.
I could pin you down on
that.
Had
many fights with him
on
the phone over things.
I don't know what that has to do with appearing at a bar that has a pole, but we'll leave that alone.
He lived with a hooker. Come on.
So, therefore, he's more comfortable with the pole?
Yes, I guess.
Okay. Well, I think it's more evolved to be.
Barney's a married man now.
Yeah. Pete Buttigieg also turned down Tom Ford when Tom Ford offered to dress him.
That's right. Well, you don't want to lose your style. He talked about his style. Pete talked about his style this week, and he said that I'm just more comfortable in my shirt sleeves and all that.
Well, shirt sleeves are fine.
And holding a pole.
Tom. Right.
All right. So the states, this is the season of legislatures introducing all kinds of legislation, 12 states. Actually, there are 25 bills, 12 states with anti-gay stuff.
Only the beginning.
A lot of it is about this is the new thing from the right wing. We talked about it last week, but it's barring treatment for kids who are transgender. And this is all over the place.
South Dakota has the legislature has introduced a bill to prevent surgery for minors, hormone treatment, puberty blockers.
But look,
40 co-sponsors on this bill.
We're talking about Colorado, Missouri, Florida, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and South Dakota. They want to stop doctors from doing it. These are being pushed by something called the Eagle Forum.
Well,
wasn't that
Phyllis Schlafly, yes.
Right? And Utah is drafting one. And then they want to ban transgender folks in sports from playing with this team with the gender identity with which they identify. And that includes Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, Missouri, New Hampshire, Tennessee, Washington State. And Idaho is looking at it. And West Virginia has a bill to just ban sex education, period.
And this is how George W. Bush got elected in 2004.
Well, with referenda on these things.
Yes, and
Well, that is in dispute in some case. We can go into this.
Yes.
That's the popular wisdom. It was Karl Rove's idea to push these things on the ballot, and that would bring out the conservative vote, but there's an alternate view of that. It also brings our side out in greater numbers to try to stop those things.
If only. At any rate, these are going to be in the legislatures of these states, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some of them end up on
the
ballots.
The thing that disturbs me, not disturbs me, but it's an observation, you know, our organizations put out all these polls saying how great everything is. HRC came out with their corporate index this week. You can go to hrc.org, and there's like 700 corporations who are given ratings, and they're not marked down for giving money to anti-gay bigots, but they, you know, it's whether they have good policies.
Yeah.
But they put out polls all the time. 70% of people in Georgia or wherever say we should be protected on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. But people don't vote on those issues. That's the thing.
That's true.
I mean, they're happy to tell a pollster, well, I think it's fine, but I vote on other issues.
Right.
And that's how we lose.
Yes.
In other words, anti-gay bigotry doesn't bother them enough not to vote for somebody.
By the way, did you see that HRC is opening a New York office?
Yes, I did.
They're going to have a litigation director there and a senior advisor for communications.
I think that may be some of the influence of Alfonso David, former counsel to the New York State governor.
Yes, undoubtedly. And speaking of corporate influence, members of the San Francisco Pride organization that holds the annual march, not the staff or board, but the membership, has voted to ask the board to ban Google, YouTube, Alphabet, all of them are under the corporate ownership of Alphabet, from the parade, and the Alameda County Sheriff's Office. The board is going to vote on this on February 5th. This is the growing movement to examine what corporations are doing and law enforcement and suggest that maybe they're not appropriate for the Pride March.
Can we go back to HRC for a second?
Sure.
Now it occurs to me, if you were going to open up an office somewhere, why the hell would you open it in New York? I mean, it's the media. You can call it a media center if you want, but what's the media center when you have the internet? Why not open it in Alabama, for instance, or in the South? Or
well, they did have a Southern project at one point, but
no.
But I agree. My question is, why do you need a litigation director at HRC when you have so many movement legal organizations to begin with? What's the point of that?
All right.
I'm sure HRC will give us some answers.
Better news from New Jersey. The legislature, get this, unanimously passed a bill to ban the anti-LGBT panic defense.
And the governor has signed the bill.
Governor
just today.
Murphy there.
Yep. But in Tennessee, the legislature has passed a bill to allow adoption agencies to discriminate on the basis of their religious beliefs, rejecting same-sex parents.
All right. A couple of court cases
Sure.
from our friend Professor Arthur Leonard, the gay legal eagle. In Indiana, the Court of Appeals, the Seventh Circuit, affirmed that the same-sex spouse of a woman who gives birth is the second legal mother of the child, and both moms should go on the birth certificate. It's just an extension of the Obergefell decision, and it seems to be holding up in court for the moment.
Well, the really interesting thing to me about this is that the appeals court panel that decided this unanimously is three Republican judges, or three judges appointed by Republican presidents, including this Diane Sykes, who is on Trump's list of potential appointees to the Supreme Court. I would never have believed that Diane Sykes would rule on our behalf.
Lower court judges are bound by precedent, and when they get on the Supreme Court, they can change the precedents. That's the issue.
Yeah, well, I think she's a pretty doctrinaire
right-winger. Yeah, but even if you are more bound by the precedents of the
Appeals court?
Yes, absolutely. It's only the Supreme Court that can change the precedent. So if you're going to argue the decision and say it should go another way, you have to say that the Supreme Court was wrong, and then they don't like that.
Okay.
Until they get the case, and then they change it.
Well, I just watched a documentary very interesting about the marriage case in Utah a few years ago. It's a movie called Church and State that is just now coming out on DVD and is also available on some streaming services. But it's the story of how Utah got same-sex marriage legalized before the Obergefell decision at the Supreme Court in 2013. Sure. And it was all about this one local activist, a guy named Mark Lawrence, who was from Utah but was living in San Francisco, was on the sidelines watching things like ACT UP demonstrations, felt guilty that he wasn't part of it, went back to Utah, and decided he needed to work on legalizing same-sex marriage. So he got in touch with a small local firm where there turned out to be a powerhouse lesbian lawyer, Peggy Tomsic, and they took this to the courts in Utah because the state had passed Amendment 3 that outlawed same-sex marriage.
And weren't they like the first?
They were not the first, but they were. This movie sort of implies they were somehow the first. Massachusetts was long before them, and other states.
No, to ban it through a constitutional amendment.
Possibly, yes. But they succeeded in overturning it, and that was a huge victory. But the other thing that the movie goes into is how then, as the state appealed that ruling, there came to be a great internal split in our community because the lawyers brought in NCLR, National Center for Lesbian Rights, from San Francisco to help out with the, opposing the state's appeal. And this guy, the local guy, got very angry at that and said, they're just bringing in these useless movement organizations.
NCLR.
Yes, we do. And it was about he'd been trying to raise money for the lawyers, and that cut all that off. And so it's really actually a fascinating movie, Church and State.
When Edie Windsor got started, and by the way, we're going to have Judith Kaysen Windsor, the surviving spouse of Edie Windsor, on the show on February 5th to talk about Edie's autobiography, essentially.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah, 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I recommend Church and State.
Okay. Back to court cases in Virginia. This is a little complicated. Stay with me. So a state court denied the petition from a woman to annul her marriage because her husband allegedly defrauded her by not disclosing his intention to transition to be a woman. Now, Renee's son and Joseph Riley married it only in November 2017, and Riley had gender confirmation surgery in March of 2019. But the judge said, look, you want to end the marriage? You can divorce. There was a big dispute about who told who what, but the judge found the trans Riley more credible.
So the wife wanted it annulled. And the court said, please.
Just get a divorce.
Get a divorce.
Just get a divorce.
Okay.
You don't like each other, get a divorce.
And I'm happy to see that in California, a couple of legislators, one black, one gay, have asked Governor Gavin Newsom to posthumously pardon Bayard Rustin. He, the great black gay activist and leader who invented...
Well, started out as a peace activist and, of course, was the architect of the 1963 March on Washington. There's a picture of him. He's there on the right with his surviving partner, Walter Nagel. Bayard died in 1987 at the age of 75.
Now, one of the reasons that he wasn't more in the forefront during the 63 March was that he had a record. And 10 years earlier, in 1953, he'd been arrested in Pasadena, caught having sex in a car with another man. He was convicted of vagrancy, spent 50 days in jail, and was forced to be put on the sex offender registry. And so the current legislators are asking Gavin Newsom, the governor, to pardon him retroactively.
As they did for Alan Turing in England, but of course we should have a movement to do this for everybody who was convicted of these quote-unquote crimes. I have a friend, I'm 66, I have a friend, a peer, somebody I used to go out with back in the 70s, who got arrested at Jones Beach just for having sex in the bushes, and, you know, and a sodomy charge in 1977, I think it was. So, yeah, all these things should be wiped out. Now, Bayard did maintain a prominent role in the March on Washington.
Absolutely.
At the time.
Yes.
And
he was controversial.
Well, Strom Thurmond, who I believe was in the Congress, maybe, I don't know if he was a senator at that point, was on the floor, I think it was the floor of the Senate, stands up and condemned Bayard Rustin before the march to try to stop it as a communist and a pervert. You know, and that did not hold. Martin Luther King stood by him in that.
Yes.
Anyway, so it's a great story. So, Governor, as long as you're looking into pardons, think about it for everybody. Call it the Bayard Rustin pardon.
And speaking of California, let's celebrate that Katie Sowers, who we've been following over the past couple of years, who is an assistant offensive team coach for the San Francisco 49ers.
Receivers.
Going to the Super Bowl.
She's in a lot of commercials
these days. Yeah, the quarterback only threw 6 passes in the semifinal game because they have a great running game going. But she's going to the Super Bowl. Out lesbian.
Super Bowl is
female coach in the NFL.
Super Bowl is the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs on February 2nd.
She's originally from Kansas.
The quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, calls her feisty and awesome and fun to be around.
Well, of course.
Now, the Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites if you're looking to bet on the game. It's really a toss-up game. Anyway, that's the early line.
Yes. All right. And another nice story comes from Maryland, Glen Burnie, Maryland, if we can
You're
skip
jumping
to that
if you
picture.
Do that.
I am, but I'm putting together the nice stories.
All right, there
we
go. This is this kid, 15-year-old Aiden, A-I-D-E-N, in the rainbow suit there. He came out to his family, and they wanted to really show some support for him. So they threw him this big party at an Italian restaurant. They called it how do you pronounce this?
Gaysonera, instead of a quinceanera, which is the traditional Latinx celebration
for girls.
Of girls when they reach 15.
But the restaurant...
This is a gaysonera for Aiden.
I know there's Christmas decorations there, but they baked all these rainbow cakes and they had all these rainbow decorations. And some of the servers in the restaurant came up and said, I wish I had gotten this kind of support when I came out when I was a kid. I did not. I was rejected.
Sweet.
So this was at the Sunset Lounge in Glen Burnie. And it's just a very heartening story.
It is.
Because that's what should happen.
Absolutely.
When a kid comes out, you should have a party.
Yes. All right. Well, now we have to make a big switch to some really ugly stories. And we will start in Louisiana, where Jaquarius Taylor, 17 years old, out gay black young man.
Found dead of a gunshot wound to the head. Now, the family is pushing for the FBI to get involved in an investigation and saying the sheriff has some conflicts. through his family. The sheriff denies this. The sheriff says the FBI is involved in the investigation. They're open to looking at it as a hate crime. They don't know whether it is. The body was found on January the 12th.
Yeah, terrible story.
Yeah.
And in the Bronx in New York, they have now arrested a third suspect in the Christmas Eve killing of Juan Fresneda.
We have a picture of him. We haven't shown you a picture of the victim yet. And there he is, 60 years old, gay man.
60 years old. He and his partner were coming out of a McDonald's, and they were set upon by this group of kids. A 14-year-old is the latest one arrested. Juan jumped in to save his partner and told his partner to run away, which he did.
This went on for 15 minutes, this beating. I mean, they smashed him with the garbage cans. They kicked him. The alleged perpetrators are 14, 15, and 18. Only the 18-year-old has been named, Abu Kanta.
They got a total of $1 from this robbery.
They were... And Abu says, I didn't do it. I wasn't part of this. But it was a vicious robbery, and they're charged with murder, second-degree murder, and gang assault. And then in Michigan, this is one we missed, and a viewer brought it to our attention. Why aren't you talking about this? The killer of 25-year-old Kevin Bacon, that's him on the left, a hairstylist on Christmas Eve, has entered an insanity plea.
That's the killer on the right.
Mark Latunsky, 50 years old. He lured Kevin through Grindr, I think it is, and then committed the most gruesome murder. I'm not going to go into the details. It certainly reeks of insanity.
There was cannibalism involved.
Yes.
Let's just say that.
Yes, it was
very
awful.
Very
just
hideous.
Just awful. By the way, go ahead.
Well, I'm through with the violence stories, I'm sorry to see that our friend Jimmy Van Bramer, member of the New York City Council, great gay leader, was favored to win probably the Queens Borough President race, but has withdrawn from the race.
He was sort of the insurgent candidate. The Queens Democratic Party
had
endorsed someone else. But anyway, sorry about that.
Yeah. Family issues.
In D.C., a gay bathhouse, the Crew Club is closing after 25 years. The building in Logan Circle was sold for $5 million. It was the last one in D.C. Local activists praised it for its support of LGBT organizations, safe sex education. So these things are going by the wayside. And congratulations to Virginia being the 38th state to ratify ERA, even though unless Congress lifts the time limit on ratification, that expired in 1982.
Oh, that's a total mess. Don't hold your breath for that happening anytime soon.
There's an explicit limit. There's a question whether that's constitutional. If there's a blue wave in this year, who knows what can happen? Think big.
Yes, anything can happen.
International news?
Yes. Guatemala.
All right.
Out gay Aldo Davila,
42 years old,
takes office as the first out gay member of parliament. He's, of course, received death threats. Guatemala is not a safe place to
be. He's a
gay
activist and helps PWAs and is a left winger.
There are a lot of gay people who are refugees trying to seek asylum in the United States who have been sent to Guatemala by the United States, which has this new policy of sending people back to, like, the last country they transited through before coming here. And Guatemala picks up a lot of those, and there are terrible stories of violence.
Yes, Brazil, they have charged the out gay journalist Glenn Greenwald. There he is on the right with his family, David Miranda and their children. His husband is, I think, in the Congress now.
Yep.
All right. They've charged him with cyber crimes, allegedly helping hackers tap the phones of top officials. Of course, what he ended up doing was exposing a lot of corruption among the top officials.
Well, this is all about the horrible Bolsonaro, who's new president of Brazil, and Greenwald has been a very outspoken foe of his. So Greenwald has hooked up with the hackers who, in hacking government officials' phones, have discovered a lot of corruption and a lot of illegal prosecutions and jailings of people, including the former president. And yeah. Greenwald's been publishing this stuff, and the government is charging that he, in fact, is helping the hackers and is guilty of the crime.
Glenn called it an attack on the free press and, of course, retaliation. The federal police 2 months ago, based on all this same evidence, said that he had committed no crime. Now, there was also this story from Brazil this week that the arts minister gave this speech that people noticed was very, very similar to a lot of Nazi rhetoric. Word for word, he said it was inadvertent. Well, I guess if you read Hitler's speeches all the time, the way Donald Trump does, it seeps into your language.
So it wasn't plagiarism. It was just genocidal bigotry. Which he came up with on his own.
So even Bolsonaro, who is a fascist,
yes,
had to fire him. How about that?
How about it?
Too much for even Bolsonaro.
In Chile, the Senate has finally given preliminary approval to a same-sex marriage law.
Now, well, that's in the Senate, and it faces strong opposition in the Chamber of Deputies, which is more conservative.
Not to mention from the new president.
So the vote in the Senate was 22-16. It favors the idea of legislating marriage equality. I mean, this has been kicking around since 2016 when the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights said, Latinx America, you got to do it.
And the previous president, who was much more liberal, had promised it, and then right-wing guy was elected president, and it's been stalled since then.
Okay.
Now, why are we sad that Prince Harry is leaving the U.K.? And giving up his...
Stands up for gay people and people with HIV?
Yes.
Yes.
A gay soldier...
Can he do that in Canada?
I hope so. A gay soldier has told the story of how Prince Harry stood up for him twice when he was being bullied. This guy was in Harry's regiment when they were, in Afghanistan or wherever. And this guy was getting bullied, and he went and told Prince Harry, they're being mean to me. And Prince Harry went out immediately and confronted them directly and said, that is unacceptable, stop it. And they did.
Yeah. Also in the United Kingdom, the last Chick-fil-A is gone. It was in the Scottish Islands. They put it in a luxury hotel. What were you thinking?
I
know Scottish cuisine, haggis and everything, but come on.
Oh, come on.
I know. I'm just making a joke here.
Easy stereotype.
I go to London a lot, and they used to complain about English food, but I eat very well when I'm there, as you can see. Anyway, they're shutting down the Chick-fil-A after months of nonstop protests there. The last one closed that was down, I think, in after a week. A bisexual member of the Scottish Parliament, Patrick Harvey, called it a toxic company, toxic U.S. company, that funds anti-LGBT causes, and this became a cause, and they had to pull out. But it's very successful here in New York, where we don't seem to have enough of a protest
They're
movement.
Growing.
They line
They're
up
growing.
For Chick-fil-A here.
And in many places around the U.S., in Switzerland, on February 9th, they're going to hold a public vote on a proposed law in the legislature to criminalize
homophobia.
Incitement to homophobic violence.
Well, I mean, apparently, with a lot of other covered groups in the law
already,
you get cited there for posting hateful comments, or using hateful language against people who are covered on television or inside. Now you could be cited for denying a gay couple a hotel room, for rejecting the kids of gay couples at daycare. So that's
That's illegal in some places here and not in others.
Well, we cover civil rights. we don't cover hate speech, and I don't want to. We have a First Amendment in the United States.
Yes.
Say what you want, but
although you can't yell fire,
pay
in a crowd
the consequences.
Theater.
Well, yeah. In Sweden, you know, as where nationalist politics are on the rise, well, there, the second from the left is the crown princess of Sweden, Victoria. She made an historic royal visit to an LGBT organization, the Swedish Federation for LGBTQ and Intersex Rights, which I read was founded in 1950, which is kind of wild.
That's her husband, the prince, yep, on the far right.
And so this was sort of taking a stand in the midst of the swing to the right in Sweden.
Yes, unfortunately, they, like many other
why
countries.
Why can't you be more like Finland?
Instead of like us.
Yeah, well, yeah.
In Kosovo, well, here's better news. A court has okayed a name and gender change on documents for a trans man. Has ordered the government to allow the document changes for gender. Kosovo.
Okay.
Very exciting.
All right. You got anything else there in
international
news?
Yeah, in Ottawa, Canada, they are going to erect an LGBTQ plus national monument funded by the reparation funds that they handed out to people who'd been fired for being gay. Canada did pay people like $150 million,
great,
and $8 million of that is going to be used to erect a monument in the capital city.
How about some housing for homeless LGBT youth?
That'd be nice. And there's a series called Little America on Apple TV+. And 10 Arab countries and Russia have banned one of the episodes that's about a gay Syrian man who tries to get out of Syria and come, I guess, to the U.S. to get asylum.
And what's this big LGBT series that they're launching on Apple TV+? Well, we don't know. A lot of gay stuff on television. But not in the, we can get to it, not so much in the award season this year. Anyway, AIDS news.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the big news from the United Kingdom, and I think we're in Scotland again, right?
Well, there are a couple of UK stories, so take
HIV positive James Bush, B-U-S-H-E, Bushy,
yes.
Bush, he won a fight with the Civil Aviation Authority, there he is, to become the first person with HIV to gain a commercial pilot's license and fly a commercial flight. He had was apparently banned over there. He was EasyJet's European regulator. EASA forbade such licensing, and the rule said you could fly if you had HIV if you already had a license and a medical certificate, but applicants were not accepted. But of course, applicants weren't being tested, so you could probably get away with it. But anyway, he was a pilot. Now he's flying for Logan Air, but he's still not allowed to fly solo. For some reason.
Well, he also is not allowed to fly to countries that do not allow HIV-positive people to enter, like the United Arab Emirates. He cannot fly flights to those countries.
That's the kind of crap that the Trump administration, dishes out when it talks about deploying people in the Air Force.
Yes.
As well, with their their ban. All right. In Denmark, they have lowered the blood donor ban on gay sex to 4 months. Now, what is it, a year here? If you've had gay sex, male sex within the last year?
Yeah, they're slowly shrinking the window of when you cannot have last had
I mean, gay sex. I mean, the thing is, if you're a couple, what have you got to worry about? If you're both
That's not the point. The point is they think...
But you're still having sex.
Yes.
With your partner.
Yes.
And neither of you can transmit it to each other unless something, whatever. All right.
Whatever the window they don't need a window. What they need is to figure out whether you have HIV that is transmissible by a blood donation.
Right.
And they're not doing that. They're setting up these artificial parameters that are actually meaningless.
Right.
And so there we are, and they shrink the window, but that's not really where we should be on this.
And the United Kingdom is reporting that HIV infections there since 2012 are down 71%. Now, they attribute it to PrEP, which is not completely available through the NHS.
Yeah.
But 97% of people with HIV there are in treatment, which is great. And in 2012, they had 2,800 cases.
I'm always a little suspicious of that number, because how can you really know who is infected that has not been tested or treated?
They claim to be on track to end transmissions by 2030. I mean, I know every politician in the Western world has said they're going to do that, including Trump. but it's not happening as fast here.
It is not.
All right.
All right. Entertainment news. Should we talk about My Name is Lucy Barton?
We love Laura Linney. I love Laura Linney. Anyway.
I love Laura Linney,
and we were very much looking forward to this. It was a big hit in London at the Bridge Theater, which is run by Nick Heitner over there. So we came with great anticipation.
Well, it's based on a story or a book by Elizabeth Strout, whose work was also made into an HBO series, Olive Kittredge.
Yeah, it's a mother-daughter story, and she plays both parts. I mean, she's on the stage alone for an hour and a half. But I just felt, and of course this was adapted by Rona Munro, it touches on life and death and alienation, but I don't think with particular insight. And she kept having all these periods where she said, well, I don't know why that happened, or I don't know why my kids don't talk to me, or I don't know. I mean, it was like, well, figure it out and then tell us.
I just thought the...
I thought it was too writerly. It was like she opened a book and was just reading it, as opposed to really dramatizing it.
Well, when you
now,
go...
again, this got a lot of good reviews. We're in the minority here.
We are, but, you know, we're right.
Right.
when you see Laura Linney, you expect a naturalistic, high-class performance. I thought she was very stilted, very mannerly, at least for the beginning of the play. She slowly got a little more natural, but I was very disappointed.
Maybe it was an off night. You know, the theater is a unique experience.
I don't think we
can. Anyway, sorry about that if you have tickets.
Although I would recommend it above the movie Uncut Gems, which I also had high hopes for, because I like Adam Sandler, or half his stuff anyway. And that has gotten great reviews. I love Happy Gilmore. I love Billy Madison. I love The Wedding Singer. And I rewatched Spanglish recently, which I liked a lot, and that is not a funny movie. But Uncut Gems was very disturbing, very violent, and really hard to watch.
Uh-oh.
So I don't recommend that.
On Broadway, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is going to start House Pride Nights. I read this with interest, but it's not LGBT Pride, as most Pride Nights are. It's Pride in Hufflepuff, Slytherin, Gryffindor, and Ravenclaw, which are the houses of the Harry Potter thing. Pride Nights.
Yeah. For Laverne Cox fans who are missing her now that Orange is the New Black has ended, she's doing a couple of upcoming things. For the Peacock service, the new NBC streaming service, she's doing a series called Clean Slate, produced by Norman Lear.
It's launching July 15th, but if you have if you have Comcast, you can get it on April 15th.
Yeah, and she's also doing something called Inventing Anna for Netflix, produced by Shonda Rhimes.
And on Clean Slate, she's going to play a proud trans woman returning to Alabama after 17 years to work on the Doug Jones campaign, I hope. and she's also co-writing it.
Good for her. Sooner than that, on February 8th, you can see RuPaul hosting Saturday Night Live.
With Christian singer Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber is all involved with the, what's the church?
I don't know. It's probably a big one.
Yeah, and very right-wing.
With his money, even
anti-gay.
More. Right.
All right, better news. The L Word, Generation Q, which returned this year after about 10 years off on Showtime, has been renewed by Showtime before it's even ended this first return season. And so has Work in Progress, the sort of companion half-hour show about the very butch lesbian who... who has a lot of problems. And Julia Sweeney is a producer that I told you it's all about.
Right.
This woman says Pat ruined her life.
Oh. Well, and Harry Hamlin said that making love ruined his life. Harry Hamlin, you may remember, was in the movie Making Love, an early Hollywood gay-themed film. There he is looking at himself in the mirror, and of course his lover was played by Michael Ontkean. Now, you know, this was Hollywood tiptoeing into putting a gay theme film, a gay male film, because I think female films have been playing for a while. But he now says, this was 10 years too early. It ruined my movie career. I never got another big studio film. I eventually got TV work.
Well, L.A. Law, which was a huge hit for many years.
It was.
I'm not weeping for Harry Hamlin.
Well, no, but a lot of people obviously turned this thing down. And
it was a big story at the time about was he going to ruin his career by playing gay, and evidently it had an impact. But he's now all over the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with his wife, Lisa Rinna. I think Harry is doing just
fine. In those days, actors were very concerned about it. When they made the movie Morris, the Merchant Ivory film, they offered it to one of their big stars. He turned it down, and James Wilby ended up playing the role. But Hugh Grant said, That was the best screen kiss I ever had, and he wasn't joking. I mean, they had a beautiful scene there,
yeah.
And Harry at the time said he was looking for something edgy. You know, I mean, I think he had just done that epic Zeus thing. Clash of the Titans.
I can't think that Harry had a huge movie career to lose at that time.
Oh, okay.
But whatever.
Well, we tell ourselves different stories.
We do.
Come on. Lest we forget. You know, we had a little time here. Lest we forget when Will Smith did 6 Degrees of Separation.
Yeah.
Denzel Washington said, "Don't be kissing no man" in that film,
which was in the script.
Yeah.
But he managed to avoid it.
We're finished. We've got all the time. Harry Hamlin said
that. I have a couple other things.
Harry Hamlin said that his tradition was, you know, I cook meals for my co-star so we get to know each other or anything. And we were told to practice the kiss. So he used to it. And he says, I didn't want to do that because it was going to be the first male kiss for Michael, the character, in the movie. So we didn't do that. What you saw on the screen, of course, when they showed the kiss of the Making Love, it was shot in a mirror, not directly onto the bed. I remember a lot about this.
Evidently.
Well, it was a breakthrough at the time. We weren't even doing Gay USA in those days.
No, but we
had seen... It was 2 years beforehand.
We had seen the Children's Hour, and we were not happy about that.
Okay.
Leaving the Blues is a new play by Jule Gomez, longtime author and activist, wrote the
poet.
Very... Poet, wrote the Gilda Stories, which was very honored. So she's doing a trilogy of plays. Her first one was about James Baldwin, and this one is about Alberta Hunter, and it's being produced at the Ptosis company at the Flea Theater.
The Other
down
Side
here.
Of Silence.
Yes. So this is running
Dorrick Wilson's outfit.
Yeah, through February 8th. And it's the story of Alberta Hunter, who was, and a lot about the black lesbians in show business in the 20s and 30s and 40s, early on,
yeah.
Who weren't really talked about at the time. Bessie Smith, whatever.
We didn't talk about any of that stuff in
those
days.
But it was all going on, so you get all the flavor of that in this play. It's a small play, but it has a lot of interesting aspects and some really good music, because Alberta Hunter sort of lost her career at one point,
yeah.
Ended up being a nurse, took care of her mother for years when she was dying, and then was finally convinced to come back into show business when she was about 80, with a gig at the Cookery restaurant in Greenwich Village here.
David Rothenberg, the gay activist in his 80s, took me there to hear her sing.
I was there. I went to hear her sing. And Barney Josephson, who owned it, begged her to come out of retirement and do it. And she thought she'd have like one night there. And it went on for 4 or 5 years before she died. So this, as I say, is playing through February 8th. At the Flea Theater, stars Rosalind Brown. That's who you saw in the picture. And she's got a great voice. She is really wonderful to listen to. So it's sort of, it takes her through her life and is something that you might want to check out if you're interested in that.
Okay.
It has some great songs.
And as I said,
and they gave
what else
out
you have?
These fans, which was good, except they gave them out at intermission, and the theater had been boiling hot for the first half, and then they turned on the air conditioning for the second half, so they didn't really need them for the second half. Oh, the other thing is that GLAAD is having its New York version of the Media Awards on March 19th.
Yes.
They're honoring Ryan Murphy, which I think is a big deal, with the Vito Russo Award.
The big producer of all
Pose,
things gay.
Glee, American
Boys
Horror
in the Band,
Story,
movie.
Feud. Judith Light's going to be on.
Normal Heart.
Judith Light's going to be
yeah,
on.
Yeah, Judith
too.
Light. We love Judith Light.
Yeah.
She's
and
their big honoree.
Lily Singh, who is the out... she lesbian or bi?
I don't know.
She hosts a late night show now on one of the networks.
Our viewers will tell us.
Yes, thank you. Or we can look it up. But we haven't yet.
As I said, award season, you know, what's there to root
the
for
Oscars,
anymore?
Yeah.
My Taron Egerton didn't win at the SAG-AFTRA Awards, so they still gave it to that joker, Joaquin Phoenix, which, I mean, I think is like, you know, it's a vile thing, I mean, show, the Joker. It's very dystopian. I mean, maybe it's a metaphor for the Trump era. And that we're in. But
speaking of which, we don't have any hope for anything out of this impeachment charade, do we?
Well, what you can hope for is certainly having watched the first 1.5 days of proceedings, is that something will sink in with the electorate, and they will continue to lose voters.
I like the way
I'm talking about Trump losing
yes,
voters.
I like the way the Democrats are laying out the case and bringing in all these video clips of the House hearings. And,
yes.
And just
actualities.
Slowly walking us through it. Which they're going to do all over again now that they're into the presenting evidence phase. So I hope people are going to see some of that and be impressed by it, or at least be impressed by the fact that the Democrats are not being stumble bums in this case.
And maybe repelled by all the bigots that are running the Trump defense.
Oh, my God. What a lineup.
Just, it's a what a rogues gallery, essentially.
Well, we referred to Jay Sekulow at the beginning, but I am so amazed that he works for the White House now because he
well,
is...
Well, he's a personal lawyer for the president,
but
I think.
He
I don't think
was
he's a White
the
House.
Lawyer. I think he was working with Ralph Reed and all those really, you mentioned Pat Robertson, all those right-wing evangelist for years and years and years. He was clearly public enemy number one as far as we were concerned. Before the Alliance Defending Freedom, Jay Sekulow was relentlessly going after us legally.
My Jewish friends are
otherwise.
Very embarrassed by him. He is a Jew. He is a Jew for Jesus.
Well, he's a horrible, horrible person, and just, of course...
And not doing a good job.
They
really came across as totally unprepared. Well, anyway, we hope to have better news for you next week.
We certainly
maybe
do.
The president will be gone.
And we'll be back at our regular studio. And by the way, I want to thank Maren Johns, who sat in last week, and will be sitting in again in a couple of weeks. She's doing a terrific job. Enjoyed working with you.
I absolutely do.
Enjoy.
We always miss you, and we hope you feel better.
Well, my nose started running this morning, and here I am.
All right.
Thank you. We'll see you next week.
You're a trooper.